The book of Hebrews, please, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Well, I understand there's any number of preaching brethren amongst us here today, so my remarks will be trust short and brief. And reading verse 11, or chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now the Lord will bless his word, I'm sure, to our hearts, and there's any amount of, I suppose, material here that many, no doubt, in the meeting today would handle far better. But I just want to think of very, very simply of just some simple thoughts right on the surface of these characters that we've read from Hebrews chapter 11. Trust will be a blessing to our hearts today. I want to think of Abel and the thought of Abel that he believed God. Very simply, Abel was a young man who believed God. Now, faith, I wouldn't even attempt to explain faith, but one thing I do appreciate, that faith is believing God, taking God at his word, and just resting upon what God has said and resting upon it. That's what we do for salvation and in the preaching of the gospel. It's when a person rests upon the word of God, the truth of God, and he rests all upon it for eternity, that person can know their sins forgiven and can know peace with God. And so if there's one here this afternoon, and if you're not saved, friend, this would be, even in this afternoon ministry meeting, so-called, would be a good meeting for you to trust the Lord Jesus. There was a woman back our way through, opened up the Bible at come home from work at dinner time, troubled about being saved, and she stopped reading her Bible. She said, "I'm not reading the Bible anymore." She says, "It doesn't do me any good, and I read all these verses, it's no help." And so for a day, she managed to resist reading the Bible. She came home from work at dinner time, and she took the Bible, and she just opened it. And it opened to Hebrews chapter 11, and she read verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, or to please Him. And lo and behold, God used that verse, and she said, I see it's by faith. It's taking God at His word. And in her own bedroom at dinner hour, home from work, that woman got saved. And so, it's resting upon what God has said in His word concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus, His death on the cross, and you could be saved this afternoon in this ministry meeting. But I want to think about Abel just very simply. He believed God. When I think of Abel, I think of a cost that was involved in believing God. I think of Enoch, and I think of he pleased God. And then that's seen in his walk. When I think of, or his communion, when I think of Noah, he feared God in his work and what he did. And I think of courage. And you know that's what's needed in Noah's day. It took courage. I believe it took courage in Noah's day to do a work for God. And I believe it takes courage in our day to do a work for God. Abraham obeyed God. When he heard the word from God, Abraham responded to it. And he obeyed God. That was in his calling and what the Lord wanted him to do. And I thought very simply of Sarah. She judged God, it says. And I thought that she judged God's faithful in her worship and in her confidence in God. So, very simply, Abel believed God. Do we believe God today? I wonder if we were to ask those of us today that profess to be saved, how much do we believe God? And when I thought about Abel, this young man Abel in the Bible, there was a great cost in Abel's life to believing God. Do you know that sometimes there's a cost in the lives of believers to believe God? Some of us were brought up in Christian homes and mom and dad were saved when we were born, but anyway, as far back as pretty well as I can remember, my mom and dad were saved and they longed for the day that I might get saved. And all the children, 7 of us in the family, and they wanted that every one of us as children, that we might get saved. That was the earnest desire of their heart. That was their prayer to God, and that's what they worked at. And everything in their life pretty well revolved around seeing their family saved and seeing the children saved. So there was very little cost from that side of it of getting God's salvation. But there are some people, and it is a cost to God's salvation. Sometimes it's in spite of what mom and dad thinks or brothers and sisters think. And so they step out believing by faith, believing God and taking God at His word and trusting Christ as a Savior. And sometimes a cost involved. Perhaps there's some today in our meeting and that would be your portion in life. As you look back when you got saved and you thought of maybe there was a cost involved. Well, I want to tell you, friend, it was well worth it. In the case of Abel, he brings before us the worthwhileness, if you will, of the cost for God in his life. And then, of course, there's cost sometimes in getting baptized and sometimes coming into the assembly. I think of a man and a woman. He's an elder in the assembly now back in one of the outports in Newfoundland. But he was going with this girl that was to be his wife. He had given her a ring. The gospel had come to the area. So he was interested in the gospel and listening to it and getting saved. So one night they were sitting in the old truck. And you'd have to hear them tell a story, of course. But they're sitting in the old truck and she takes off her ring. And she says, now she said, these men are preaching. Now it's either that or me. She said, now you can make up your mind. Well, of course, he thought about that for a minute. I wonder if that was some of our young people today, any cost. Well, if you had to weigh up a choice like that in your life, you know, well, he thought for a moment and he looked at her and he says, well, he said, I'm going to have to choose the Lord Jesus. He said, it's my soul and it's for eternity. It's heaven or hell forever. He said, I'm going to have to make choice of the Lord Jesus. Well, she put the ring on the dash of the truck, and she got out of the truck, and she slammed the door, and went on her way. But you know, 2 or 3 nights later, the woman was at the meeting. And she said, now she'll tell you now, too, if you was in her home. She said, you know, when I got home, and I kind of calmed down a little bit, she said, I began to think that if what he's made choice of is more important to him than I am. Well, he said, that must be something that's really important. And so she weighed it up in the light of the value that he had put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And she recognized that this must be really important, so much that she was going to go to find out exactly just how important it was. And so she got saved. Of course, the end of the story is years later, he's an elder in the assembly and she stands alongside of him. But you know, when it came to the point in life of the cost, what's the most value? Am I going to value what the Lord wants or what I want? And when I put it in the bracket of the cost, if it's going to cost me something, well, perhaps I'm not going to do that. And I can bring that into every area of my life, of course, whether it's for salvation or whether it's my family life or whether it's my assembly life. If I put a value on the assembly or on something else, perhaps whether it's dollars and cents or whatever, and if it's going to cost me, am I willing to pay the price? Well, Abel brings before us, he was a young man who believed God. In spite of the cost, it cost him his life. In spite of the cost, he just rested upon the Lord Jesus or upon God's word. He took God's side. And so may the Lord encourage our hearts that we might show forth a good witness, even though there may be a cost involved. When I think of Enoch, I think of Enoch's walk. He walked with God. It says that he walked with God. He pleased God in his walk. So that's communion. That's fellowship with God, an intimate relationship with God. I wonder if we were to ask ourselves today, too, it's good sometimes to look in the mirror and ask myself, well, how am I getting along with God? How am I getting along in my, in my personal, private life? And we'd have to look, of course, maybe into our reading and maybe into our praying just to see how we're getting along. And I would be realize, as I look in the mirror, two of the easiest things to get along without, so we think at least, is reading and praying. Now, this is pretty elementary, I realize, but, you know, reading and praying would be two of the most vital things in the life of the believer. And so I speak to the younger people here today. Do you take time to read? Do you take time to pray? Would you take time with your family to sit down at some point through the day to just to sit down and to open the Bible and to read the Bible and to pray in the presence of the children and to mention the children by name and just commit them? You know, we tried to make a practice, at least before the children went to school, that we would pray for them, that the Lord would preserve the children before they went out to the school and all that they're cast into at the school, the things they hear and the things they see and the things that they are involved in and brought into contact with in schools. Why, surely we need to pray that the Lord will put a hedge about our children to preserve them. And, of course, if you're thinking about getting married, one young man said to me, and I was quite amazed. I don't know what you did before you were married, when you went for a drive or whatever with your wife-to-be. But this young man said, told me, he got saved in some meetings we had. He said, when I started to go with this, and if I mentioned the girl at least, you would know the family connection. He said, the first time that we went for a drive, pulled over on the side of the road. Now he said to her, I think maybe it'd be nice if we prayed together. Well, she said, I never prayed out loud in front of anybody in my life. And now here's her boyfriend, just starting, and they're going to pray together. So he said, I'll pray first. He said, and then you can pray. Ever try it? I would think that would be something well worth trying. So anyway, he prayed, and then she was telling my daughter this, coming home from a meeting one night, and then she said, then I tried to pray, or I prayed. Boy, she said, that was an experience I'll never forget. Well, that was a pretty good way to start a relationship, wasn't it? I thought, anyway. You know, in the life of a young man and a young woman, I would think that would be a great way to start a relationship and to carry on a relationship. I would think that's a great preservative in a relationship with a young man and a young woman as well. Carry that right on over into the marriage life and the family life of praying together. And then, of course, praying one for another. And in the assembly, of course, we should pray one for another. Could you pray for every person in your assembly? A good question to ask ourselves. Am I in communion with God enough that I can pray for every one of my brethren and every one of my sisters and mention them by name? Could you mention every brother in your assembly by name and pray for them? I'm not going to get very far, but that's all right. There was a time in my life, I speak a little bit of experience, there was a man. And no names, but there was a man, and, you know, the last thing I want to do is pray for him. Maybe pray against him, if I had to pray. And that was a battle, but, you know, for a number of months, or maybe more than months, you know, that affected every part of my Christian life. This individual, this man, and he was in the assembly, and I was in the assembly, not the same assembly all the time, but periodically. And you know, a lot of my Christian life was affected by the fact of my feelings. And I don't think it was the other way, actually. I really don't. He was far more commendable that way, I would think, than I was. Of course, nobody knew. Nobody guessed. But I knew. And I knew it right deep in here. Well, you know what I did? I got down one day, and I said, oh God. And then I mentioned this brother by name. And I told the Lord that having a little difficulty with him. Just to be able to have that freedom. And do you know something? It wasn't very long. before, it wasn't half as hard to pray for him the second time, to mention his name in prayer to God. And it wasn't very long before my attitude toward him turned right around. And I had a whole different thought concerning this man. And you know something? There was some joy that came back into my soul that I had been missing, that hadn't been there. And so I thought of the importance of being able to pray one for another. Are we able to pray today, one for another, in the assembly, or even with the saints that we know, to commit them to the Lord, to pray for them? Why, it'll change them, and it'll change us. Noah, my time is up. I think of Noah and his work. And when I think of his work, I think of courage. You know, I don't think it was any easier for Noah to build the ark in Noah's day than it is to build in the assembly in our day. I don't think it was. I think Noah was a man that needed courage, needed some help along the way. And here he is building away. Do you think everybody encouraged him along as he's building? Do you think all the passerbyers just give him a shout of, you know, to help him on, to make sure he kept right at it? Well, I really don't think he did. I think that Noah, in his day, was a man who needed courage. Courage to build the ark. Of course, he had his family in view. And as he thought about his family, he wanted his family saved. And so he's building. And he's putting his effort and work into the building of this ark, to the saving of his house, of course. Well, as we build into the assembly, as we build into our Christian life, we are building, friend, and our influence, of course, is toward others as well. I didn't help build many boats, but I remember one boat. I helped build one boat in a little place called Charlottetown one time. This man, one of the Christians there, was building a boat. And so I'd never seen it done before. He steamed the planks and all the rest of it to put it in and fit it in. But you know something that impressed me when he was building this boat? He's building it for his son. He wasn't building it for somebody else, he was building it for his son. And when he built that boat, he says, you know, where my boys are fishing, he said, it's a dangerous waters down there. And they often, coming around certain points, they've got to, they're meeting with tremendous waves and storms. So he said, I'm building this thing to withstand the pressures and the weight of the water of which he has to fish in. And so I thought, you know, we're building. You and I are building. That man was building, not for the clear blue skies and the calm weather. That don't make a sailor, they say. It says, smooth sailing never made a sailor. That's the saying. But the rough waters, of course, that tests them pretty good. Well, this man was building for his son, and he wasn't building for the smooth sailing, but he was building for the troubled waters. Well, you and I are going to run into troubled waters, whether in the family, whether in the assembly, whether in the world, whether it's in on our job, whatever, in some sphere in our life, we're going to run into some troubled waters. But you know something? I believe Noah did too, run into some troubled waters, but he was building that was going to last. He was building in a way that was going to preserve. He was building, and he was courageous in his building. And so we're building every day. Every day we're building. And so may the Lord encourage our hearts, each one of us, younger ones and older ones, that we might build for God, that we might build for eternity, that we might build that in which is going to last, something for His glory. So we trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts to our hearts today.